Welcome to this five-part devotional titled, What Happens Next? In this devotional, we're going to be talking about some of the experiences that happened after the resurrection of Jesus. All five parts will be posted to our social media, so check it out. We hope it encourages you and we hope it blesses you.
Hey, welcome to day one of our devotional series titled, What Happens Next? In this series, we're talking about some of the experiences the disciples had after the resurrection of Jesus. And we're going to be posting this on our Instagram, on our Facebook. We'll post it on YouTube, and we're also going to post it on our website. And so you can follow along on any one of those platforms. I will let you in on a secret, though. If you go to our website, yourgrovechurch.org, and you go to the media section of our website, you can actually download notes for each day of our devotional series. And so you can use those notes to follow along. You can take notes directly on it. You can download it for free, share it with a friend. Hey, you can even use it to preach to someone else. However you decide to use it, I pray that it blesses you. But hey, let's get started in today's lesson. And I'm excited about this because we're looking at what happens when the disciples get to the tomb of Jesus. They get to the empty tomb of Jesus. And what I love most about this text is that each of them has a different experience. And so here's what I mean. When Mary gets to the tomb, Mary is the first one. The Bible says on the first day of the week. So this is why we celebrate Easter on Sunday. The first day of the week, Mary gets to the empty tomb of Jesus. And Mary just notices that the stone has been rolled away. And I think in that moment, she just kind of panics. Mary is doing what we all would do when we get somewhere and what we're expecting to be there is not there. Have you ever had that experience where maybe you expected to find something in one place and it wasn't there? Mary is having that kind of experience, and she essentially doesn't go in. She doesn't even get near it. Mary runs and she goes back to tell the disciples, like, yo, they have taken his body. He is not here. And I imagine, like, the Bible doesn't describe this, but I imagine that they are like, what do you mean, Mary, that Jesus is not there? And so she's talking to Peter and John in this moment, and they probably get riled up too, especially knowing Peter. And so they start running for the empty tomb of Jesus. So Mary sees the stone rolled away. She runs to tell the disciples, and then Peter, John, and Mary all run back to the empty tomb of Jesus. And Mary's experience is just one that, again, I think we would all have when we get to that tomb, or when we get to a place where we're expecting something to be there and it's not, and we kind of panic and try to figure out what is happening. For Peter, his experience is a little different. So again, him, John, and Mary are all running to the empty tomb of Jesus. And John actually beats Peter to the tomb, but John doesn't go in. Peter, knowing the type of person that he is from what scripture tells us, Peter is a go-getter. And that's probably a nice way to describe him. But Peter runs into the empty tomb of Jesus, and Peter begins to hyper-analyze everything that's going on. In other words, Peter is flipping that place upside down. He is looking from top to bottom to try to figure out, where have they put Jesus? And there's a couple interesting things that we notice about Peter's experience. The first thing is that Peter goes in first, and it's almost like the Bible describes him as not even hesitating, right? Because we see John hesitating and he stays outside of the tomb, but Peter goes straight in. So Peter doesn't hesitate. And so in this, I imagine that Peter is just kind of thinking back to his experience, walking on the water and how he hesitated. And in that moment, he just began to sink and he began to drown. In this moment, I think Peter decides, I'm not hesitating. I'm going straight in. And so we might find ourselves in that same position where one minute we hesitated, whether it was following Jesus's instructions, whether it was, you know, praying a prayer of salvation, whatever it is, we can make the decision to not hesitate anymore and follow Peter's lead. And so that's the first thing we notice from Peter's experience. The second thing that I noticed from Peter's experience is that he walks in, he examines the tomb, but the Bible describes him specifically looking at the linen that Jesus was covered in. And here's what scripture says. The Bible says that Peter noticed that the linen that was covering Jesus's face had been placed to the side, away from the other cloth that Jesus was wrapped in. And so Peter notices that it was folded up neatly and placed to the side. And here's why that is so significant, especially for those people in that time, because it goes back to tradition where when the master and the servant were in the dining area, if the servant noticed that the master had crumbled up his napkin and put it to the side, it was a sign that the master was not coming back. He was done with the meal. He was finished. But if the servant noticed that the master had folded up the linen and placed it off to the side, it signified to the servant that the master was coming back. He had seconds on his mind and he was returning at some point. Here's what I love about Peter's experience. Peter, being a Jewish boy and knowing that being the tradition of the time, I think Peter has this moment, this aha moment of like, okay, I see what's going on here. I realize what is happening, and I am picking up what you are laying down, Jesus, because I think Jesus was doing what he had been doing throughout his ministry. He was teaching the disciples through parables and tradition and stories and personal experiences. And I don't think this experience that Peter had was any different. I think Jesus was trying to teach him something from tradition. And so that's Peter's experience, much different than Mary's experience. But then you have John, who also has a different experience. John is apprehensive at first. He stands outside of the tomb. But once he notices Peter's reaction and once he notices Peter's experience and Peter comes out, I think that's when John goes in and his apprehension kind of subsides. And the Bible describes John's experience very simply put. It says he saw and he believed. Ooh, I'm going to say that again. He saw and he believed. How many of us are like John, where at first we might be a little apprehensive and at first we might be a little standoffish and not sure about this gospel thing or not sure about this Christianity thing? And so we kind of look from a distance and we don't really go in full out or commit ourselves 100%. But at some point, we have to get to the level that John gets to, where he actually goes in. And again, the Bible describes that he saw and he believed. I hope we're getting to that point where God shows us something and we believe, but more so that even before he shows us something that we believe. And so here's some takeaways that I want to give you. And I want to try to do this in each part of our devotional. I want to share a couple takeaways from each portion of our text and each portion of our devotional that I hope blesses you. And so here's the first takeaway that I have from reading John chapter 20. And the stories that I just recounted are actually coming from John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. Here's one of the takeaways that I have from it, very simply, and you can follow along if you download the guide from our website. Go to yourgrovechurch.org and you can download that for free. But here's what I take away from this first portion of scripture. It says in John chapter 20, verse 1 through 18, what we just shared, here's the takeaway that I have. Your walk with God is not a comparative experience. Oh, I'm going to say it again because I think somebody needs to get that. Your walk with God is not a comparative experience. Notice how each of the disciples had a different experience in believing that what Jesus said during his ministry was actually happening in the moment. Think about it. Mary was so panicked that she ran. And as a matter of fact, Mary's experience, Mary actually thought Jesus was the gardener. Mary thought the gardener was Jesus. And so she explaining what happened as if Jesus wasn't the person she was talking to, but she had a different experience. And if you continue on in John chapter 20, it talks about how in Mary's experience, it wasn't until Jesus simply said her name that she actually believed what was happening and that Jesus had returned. And so I think we're like that sometimes, where it takes Jesus actually saying our name or Jesus actually calling us out, if you will, for us to actually believe. And if that's been your experience, that's okay. As long as you heed the call of Jesus, as long as you hear him and you understand his voice and you begin to be obedient from there. And then even in Peter's experience, Peter over-examines the area And I think we do that so much so that I think God is kind of like, all right, you know, how much more examining do you need to do before you trust me? But I think we do have these moments where we have to examine and overanalyze everything before we get to the point of believing. And I think that's okay. I think sometimes we might be skeptics. And yes, we can go in and we can hear the word and someone can preach it and we can read it for ourselves. But I think sometimes it takes us, you know, really digging into it and getting all of the facts before we actually believe something. And I think that's what Peter was doing. He was just trying to gather all the facts before he made a determination about what he was going to believe. And then in John's experience, again, I think we all do this at some point or another in our faith, but we become a little apprehensive. You know, maybe God is calling us to do something and we're just not sure about it just yet. And so we kind of pause and we try to take it in a little bit. And before we engage or before we become dedicated to this purpose or this walk in faith, I think we stand back a little bit and we try to observe. And again, each disciple had a different experience. And that's going to be the same thing in your faith. Don't try to compare your faith to someone else. Maybe you just prayed a prayer of salvation and made a decision to make the Lord your savior and Jesus Christ the head of your life. And if that's you, man, huge congratulations and welcome to the family. You just made the biggest decision of your life, the biggest decision you'll ever make in your life. And so if that was your experience and that's where you're at, that's okay. That's fine. Don't try to compare your walk to someone else's. Maybe you've been in this faith for so long, but now you're developing a deeper relationship. That too is worth applauding and something that you shouldn't compare to someone else's. Again, each disciple had a different experience and it took them something different to believe. And we're going to be the same way. Here's the next takeaway that I have. You don't have to understand it all to have faith. Again, you don't have to understand it all to have faith. Again, for those of you who made a decision for Christ, maybe this Easter or recently, trust me, there's a lot that you're going to hear and you're going to read and you're not going to understand it at first glance. And that is okay. You don't have to understand it all. And here's how John chapter 20 reminds us of that, because in this text, the Bible says that they didn't understand what the scripture said. You know, so these are people who walked with Jesus in his ministry. They saw firsthand what he was doing and still didn't understand what was happening. And so if that's the experience that you have where you're not getting it or you're not understanding it, no matter how much someone preaches it or no matter how many times you read it over and over, that is okay. You're not going to understand it all right now. And we don't have to. We're not called to be perfect. We are called to be progressing. And so as long as we are making the effort to progress and have faith and believe, I think you're good. And so you don't have to understand it all to have faith. And newsflash, understanding is not a prerequisite to having faith. It really isn't. The prerequisite to having faith is confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and God raised him from the dead. That is all you need to have faith. And it, again, as the Bible says, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you know, you can move mountains or you can do anything. And so as long as you have faith, God honors that. You don't have to understand it all. Again, the disciples had an experience where they walked with Jesus and yet they saw what was happening and they didn't get it. Jesus explained his death, his resurrection over and over. And yet in this moment, they still didn't get it. And so I think that's fine. And here's the thing about it. Even though they didn't understand everything Jesus was saying, they still followed. They still ran to the tomb. They still went to go and see about Jesus. They still had that thing in the back of their mind where it was like, okay, I know he said he was going to rise, but you know, I'm not sure, but let me go check it out. And so even though they didn't understand it all, they still followed Jesus. And I urge you, if that's the space that you're in, even if you don't understand it, still follow him and let him reveal it to you and reveal his word and reveal, you know, understanding over time. Here's the last thing that I take away from this text. It says this: God wants to use you in spite of your past to share the gospel. Look, I'm going to say this again. God wants to use you in spite of your past. For those of you follow along in our guide, that is highlighted for a reason. In spite of your past, God still wants to use you to share the gospel. And here's what we notice from the disciples' experience that tells us that. Mary was so panicked and she was unsure of what was happening. And what we notice about Mary just from the Bible, and maybe you haven't read this part of scripture, and that's okay, so I'll share it with you. But Mary is described as someone who was possessed with seven demons, and Jesus actually delivered her from those demons. And so she had a past. I mean, a past. Seven demons is real. And so she had seven demons that Jesus delivered her from. But yet, here's what Jesus does. Jesus tells Mary, and he's very clear about this. He says, Mary, don't cling to me. Don't hold on to me. And what I imagine that to mean, especially for us in this time, is that, hey, maybe you just came into the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and that is great. Huge congratulations to you. Maybe you've been in the faith for a while. Regardless of where you're at, don't try to hold on to Jesus for yourself. Share it with someone else. And that's what Jesus tells Mary to do. Jesus tells her, don't cling to me, but rather go to my brothers and tell them about what is happening. And so I love that in spite of Mary's past, Jesus still wanted to use her to share the good news. Peter was the same way. John was the same way. In spite of their past, Jesus still wanted to use them to share the gospel. And I'm believing that for you too. In spite of your past, Jesus still wants to use you. You might need to figure some things out first. You might need to, you know, spend some time in his word and praying and understanding purpose first. But at the end of the day, regardless of where you're at, Jesus still wants to use you to share the gospel. And so, hey, I hope all of this encourages you today. And I hope that you go back and you read this. And again, you share it with someone, share it on Instagram, share it on Facebook, share it on YouTube, share it with someone who you think needs it, and even share it with the person who you don't believe needs it. Maybe God will bless them with something from this. But I would love for you to join us for the next few days as we go through this devotional. And I pray that your day is blessed, and I pray that you have an awesome week.